This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time to wake on up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
And we're coming at you live, Philmo Mike, from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Happy St. Patty's Day to all of you. You better be going to some Laughing Monk if you're going to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day on a Monday. Hell yeah. I don't care if it's 8 o'clock in the morning. As long as you're not driving. Again, please be safe on those roadways. Don't do anything dumb. And shout out to all of you who are watching us and listening to us on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, because we are streaming all day long on those platforms. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. I love Laughing Monk. I love the Golden State Warriors and what they're doing right now. I love Steve Kerr as he becomes the winningest head coach in Warriors history. And I love me some Joe Shasky, who's also wearing some green. He's decked out today. We've been having a grand old time halfway home here on a Monday, Joe. Monster, and I mean monster matchup tonight, Chase Center. Dare I say a playoff matchup between the Denver Nuggets and Golden State Warriors. 7 o'clock tip. Joker, maybe. Steph, a maybe. They're dealing with some injuries. I'm hoping both of them can go because that would just add more fuel to the fire. Nuggets have been reeling a little bit. They just lost to the Washington Wizards, who, as we know, are not a great team. They struggled against the Lakers, who did have their C squad out there on a Friday. So they have not been playing a good brand of basketball. You know who has been playing a good, if not great, brand of basketball? It's the Golden State Warriors. So maybe they're catching the Nuggets at the perfect time, and they're going to need to keep winning, Joe Shasky, because they're only 3.5 back for the 2 seed, which is crazy. But they're only a half game up from the 7th seed on the Minnesota Timberwolves. So they got to keep winning. Good morning.
I'm viewing this as a playoff game.
Yeah.
Who's coming with me?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's kind of the way I'm viewing this one. And someone's going to probably counter. Joe, they're all playoff games at this point. You're probably right. And what's crazy to me is that I don't think we've even come close to seeing the best Jimmy Butler yet.
He didn't even play well again on Saturday. Like shooting-wise, he was what? 3 of 11? Yeah, 3 of 11. Like, hey, knocked down a 3, though.
You know what's funny?
The assist totals are keep like they're
I saw
six
a stat
in seven and just
I saw a stat from him that he had 0 40-point games as a Miami Heat member in the regular season. 8 in the playoffs.
See, playoff Jimmy.
Are you kidding me?
Playoff Jimmy.
I couldn't believe that. So he had kind of alluded to it in the postgame, like, hey, you know, not that I'm not trying, but like, you know, I really wait to assert myself until playoff time. Look, these next couple of games, couple of weeks, I need to see more of a playoff Jimmy version,
right,
just to put the fear of God into everyone's head and for them to go up in the standings. The last thing I want is to be in that play-in game.
Yeah. No, you don't want to be in the play-in game. And as well as they are playing right now, Joe Shasky, like, the notion is not laughable. If you play in a play-in game against the Clippers, like, you could lose that game. Like, if Kawhi and James Harden are playing, let's not act.
Anything
like
can happen.
Anything can happen in a one-game situation. You can lose to the freaking Wizards, right? You can lose to anyone in a one-game situation.
The
way they're playing right now, it feels like they're not going to.
Yeah.
But it can happen, right? And then you don't want to be in a situation where you have to play a Sacramento Kings team in the second round of a play-in scenario where they would love nothing more. That is their World Series, Super Bowl, all 100%. NBA Finals. That would be the cherry on top of a season that's been very up and down for them. So, yeah, I say all that to say, stay out of the play-in, keep winning, because the Minnesota Timberwolves, you've won 7 in a row, they've won 8 in a row, which is insane.
We need them to lose tonight. They got
the Pacers.
Pacers, that's right. We looked at this pre-show.
Yeah, no slouch. They're the 5th seed in the Eastern Conference, but the way they're playing right now, the Timberwolves, we should be talking them. I know they're the 7th seed. We should be talking about them as a team that can make a deep run into the playoffs. They were in the Western Conference Finals last year, and we're all just kind of poo-pooing that.
Well, because they got rid of Kat. And we saw Kat's very talented Saturday night. What'd you make of Draymond Green and Kat going at it? It's a lot going on in that game. It was the game within the game within the game.
I have a lot of feelings on that. Because of what took place back in Madison Square Garden when Draymond and the Draymond Green Show went on his podcast with Baron Davis. I don't think we have the sound, but he basically said, insinuated that Kat was ducking him. And that's the reason he missed that game, because Karl-Anthony Towns did not play in that previous game at Madison Square Garden. In actuality, Karl-Anthony Towns was missing the game because of death of a family friend. And, you know, Draymond never really apologized about that, basically saying he ducked him. But when he found out the truth, he's like, oh, really? Oh, that's too bad. And I was just like, yeah, you kind of need to own that one. And so I was feeling some type of way during that whole thing. And listen, that's how I felt. It was a great moment, the night-night. It was fun. I'm not trying to poo-poo any of that, but I felt some type of way out of that. I thought Karl-Anthony Towns had a great game. Clearly, it meant a lot to him playing up against them. Draymond giving him his credit after the game. So, I say all that to say I had mixed feelings about the whole thing.
We discussed
it. Is that okay?
No.
Did I mixed feelings about that?
I think a lot of people did, but I don't think a lot of people understood the backstory.
Yes, that was the backstory of all of it. Yes.
So, we talked earlier this morning about the most frustrating thing as a sports fan is probably someone who has all the talent in the world and doesn't live up to it.
Yeah.
You know, like Zion right now.
That's
like,
a great, yes.
He's Zion, like, you're just not living up to your talent.
I mean, he's been an all-star a couple times, right? So he's, but again, you thinking of top 5 player in the NBA, and he's not that.
I look at Karl-Anthony Towns, and boy, if I was just going to write a list of guys that I think have the whole world at their fingertips, he's on the short list. And he just doesn't play like he did Saturday night often enough for most people's settings.
Has he lived up to the number 1 overall pick? Because he's been a 5-time All-Star. Like, he's been
an outstanding player.
He was the
player.
Rookie of the Year. He's been an All-NBA third team, so he has been on the first two. But, God, he's been a really good player, right? But because we just had a guy here, Andrew Wiggins, that former teammate.
Kat's career has been better than Andrew Wiggins.
Yes. But why do I feel like I want to take Andrew Wiggins over his still? Is it because he showed in that championship run that, like, man, hey, that I maximized my talent. Yeah. If this is it, I showed why I was a number 1 overall pick because I played with and I was second.
They're very similar. I'll grant you that.
Yeah.
But I do think that Kat's career has been better. But overall, I think most people watch Karl-Anthony Towns and say, you should be scoring 30 a night,
right,
getting 16 rebounds a night.
You're 7 feet tall.
And 6'7 assists. Yeah. Not you could be Jokic, but you could give me Embiid Jokic-like production with your eyes closed.
That's why I drove.
And you settle for horrific shots beyond the arc when that shouldn't be what your game is predicated on.
Well, and I didn't mean to cut you off there. And it's why it drove Jimmy Butler nuts when Jimmy Butler was in Minnesota. He did not respect the work ethic of a Karl-Anthony Towns. And why if you don't respect the work ethic of an employee or a team, like, then I'm not going to trust you in games. I'm just not. Like, that was the Kobe Bryant thing for a lot of times. Like, Kobe, why aren't you trusting? Why aren't you passing the ball more? He's like, I don't respect their work ethic.
Yeah, Smush Parker's not getting the rock right
now. No. If you don't put your blood, sweat, and tears in this game, if you don't care like I care, why should I put the ball into your hands when I know I'm going to be better at shooting the ball than you are? Which, it's Kobe, so it's different. There's levels. But I like that Jimmy Butler has a lot that in him, and I think this Warriors team needed that.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen that version of him. But on the court, definitely you see it.
But I think seeing Draymond and him go at it, you got a glimpse of, Carl, if you could just...
Yeah.
And I know a lot of things have happened off the floor
for
him. So I do want to take a step back and understand that this guy's lost parents and stuff. And
he's dealt with some tragedies in his
life.
Horrific. Yes.
But God, if you could just channel that on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
God, imagine how good you'd be.
Right.
The world would be your oyster. And for Draymond to get that layup and then hit him with the quote unquote, not night-night, but the nightmare at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And the way Draymond jumps up and down, like it's just, his whole celebration is hilarious. If
Draymond Green is doing those, almost like Geno Smith doing it, it's like, okay, well, if Geno Smith and Draymond are doing it on you, it's over. You're done. You're cooked. Speaking of cooked, Oreo cookie we're going to go to in a second. Draymond Green, though, giving love after the game, sound courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. Warriors win 97-94, improved to 38-28, 14-1 when Jimmy Butler appears in the lineup. Draymond Green after the game, giving love to his head coach, though.
Yeah.
Your coach, Steve Kerr, now the all-time winningest coach in Warriors franchise history. What's it mean just to be a part of that for him?
It's incredible. I'm thankful that I've been here for actually every single one of his wins. But he's a special guy. He's made this place a special place. He came in here and got us over the top, and we've been kind of headed that, you know, on that trajectory ever since. We're lucky to have such a winner like that. Guy got, what, 9 championships. We're lucky to have him, and I'm grateful to be a part of it.
Sound courtesy of ESPN, not NBC Sports. That was Lisa Salters.
As remarkable as Steph Curry's entire career has been, I don't think there's one player who has elevated more playing in the Steve Kerr system than Draymond Green. I don't know. Maybe he's a multi-time all-star somewhere else. Maybe. But I don't think anyone puts up with him as long as Steve has, enables him as long as Steve has, in the sense of, like, there's a give and take of the enabling. There's all the negative that we see when it comes to the techs and, you know, just chastising teammates and whatnot. But there, a lot of positive does also come with it.
Yes, I will also give Bob Myers a lot of that credit,
right,
too. Because Bob was the guy that had to come down to the stands and calm him down more often than not if Steve couldn't. Like, I mean, we have the famous thing. He's like, what's the Steve Kerr quote when he's on the sideline talking about Draymond? And it's like, his lips were like, Matt, he's like, This guy, he's pissing me the bleep off, or whatever it is. He's pissing me the hell off.
Charles Haley was a guy that everyone pointed to, was like, oh, not only did Bill Walsh identify him, but like, he made him. Well, Charles was also great with the Dallas Cowboys.
Right? Yes.
I don't know. I think he'd be good. I don't know if Draymond would have the same exact impact anywhere else.
Yeah. No, well, it's baked a lot into it, because not only did you have the right head coach, but you have to have the right players around Draymond in order for him to succeed. When you have two of the greatest shooters in the history of the game, like, yes, it's like, I can make Draymond look good. I can make the Ben Wallaces of the world. I'm talking about the two greatest defenders, the Dennis Rodmans of the world. If I have the shooters around me, it could work. But
for a couple years.
It could work for a couple years. But everything else baked into it, the antics, the going at, the officials, the technical fouls, like, it would have been, like, within their rights back in 2016, how everything shook out, if they wanted to move off of Draymond. I would have understood why they were pissed off. Now, Draymond showed out in Game 7 of the NBA Finals there, but the reason they were in a Game 7, it was a large part because of what happened in Game 5. So yes, that is baked into it, but I do give Bob Myers, I give Joe Lacob a lot of the credit here, because it was a team effort.
It's been a
team
roller coaster.
Yeah. You know.
It's been a
giant
roller coaster.
Yes.
But I would say this, like, now you're on the other side of that tunnel for now, and I think you're getting the best basketball of Draymond's career since 2016, at least for me.
The quote was, "I'm so bleeping tired of Draymond." That's what it was. I was trying to find, like, he said something about him, and then he doubled down on it. Hey, he's like, "No, the lip readers weren't wrong." Yeah, no,
but he's exhausted.
I get it. Yeah.
Come on, you're all listening. Even if you're the biggest Draymond Green fan, you've all cut or traded him in your mind 15 times. Wow. All of you. Even the biggest.
No, some of them he could do no wrong. So It's true. It's the truth.
How many coaches would have gotten this version of Draymond Green out of him in the history of the game?
A handful, maybe. Maybe.
His greatest accomplishment might not be even a title or the 73 or Steph or even the 2 months of Wiggins. I think his greatest accomplishment is Draymond Green's career. I really do.
I'm not taking
anything away from Dre individually. I'm just saying they were made for each other.
You know who's made for the morning roast? It's Oreo Cookie in Oakland. We love me some Oreo Cookie. Double stuffed, mega stuffed. They have the Post Malone salted caramel ones now, Joe Shasky. But whenever an Oreo Cookie stops by, we're going to take a dunk into the morning roast. What's up, Oreo?
What's up, Oreo?
What up, man? Happy holidays, you guys. So I did want to slow down as far as on the Kerr being one of the greatest ever. And he's on my team, so I'm glad he's successful. I want him to succeed because he's on my team. So this is just my opinion on things that I've seen, so it doesn't make it right or wrong. But let's go back to the very beginning. We had young Curry, Clay, Green, Iguodala, Livingston. And I hate to say it, man, but we would have won a chip with someone eventually having those guys with us. Where was Kerr making adjustments when we were up 3-1 and we did lose that series to Cleveland? Now everybody's saying, "Oh, we lost," but Kerr never gets any blame for that. Some of that has to go to him.
Can I ask you a question? He does.
Yes,
he does.
Sir.
He does
yes,
deserve
sir.
Criticism. Does Belichick have a loss or two on his resume
yes.
in the big games that he wants back?
Greatest season ever. They lost in the Super
Bowl. How about Popovich not putting Tim Duncan out on a rebound with like 30 seconds to go, right. subbing him out of the game? Like,
Phil Jackson,
sure.
find
yeah.
me a great
sure.
coach, and I'll find you a horrific loss. Phil Jackson lost the Pistons
yes.
when everyone had the Lakers favored.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you guys are right. But there's also other instances. A lot of the so-called adjustments that he has made have been not by his doing, or it's been done by force. Let's go to the Kuminga minutes. He never played him. He had to play him because Kuminga came out. Moody's now playing, and it was because of injuries. So I can't go back to a certain spot where I say, hey, Kerr really brought that out of us, and he's the reason that we won.
Well, the right before they ended up winning the title in the second round, like their adjustment with Tony Allen was next worldly. How about allowing Mozgov to go crazy in the finals that year? And remember that? They're like, oh, yeah. We'll let Mozgov do whatever yeah. he wants. Remember Timothy Mozgov?
Timofey Mozgov.
I mean, yeah. yes. Like, I'm not here to say he's the
worst
best
contract.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think that's fair to say that he didn't do any adjustments. I mean, they did find a way to adjust down 3-1 to OKC and win one of the greatest series in playoff history.
I know. It's slept on because they also blew a 3-1 lead subsequently.
How about being down 2-1 to the Celtics?
Well, no, it's a great point. And also, like, and I hear Oreo what you're saying. He's like, well, he was forced because of the injuries. I was like, yeah, but also the team just wasn't very good.
Mm-mm.
Like, let's just call it what it is. Before Jimmy Butler, this team was just not very good. We were literally talking. We had segments like, yeah, I don't know if Phil Jackson, I don't know if Greg Popovich could maximize what we're seeing with this team right now. They just didn't have the bodies or the depth. And Steph, he had to do everything himself. And like, again, the minute allocation for Moses Moody, it increased because of the addition of Jimmy Butler. So, yes, you do have to be lucky. And I don't like to say injuries are lucky, but you do get pigeonholed sometimes, and it forces you to make hard decisions. And you know what? He's made the right ones. So when they work, he's been sticking to them. So I'm going to give him credit there. With what's working, he stuck to it. He hasn't gone back. Like, we're keeping Kuminga on the bench. We're not going to put him back in the starting lineup, even if he was our second best scorer prior to the injury. Now, because we have Jimmy Butler, and because things are working with Moody. So he gets credit for these things that are going. Like we can't have it both ways. We can't be crushing him for all year, and then when we make the Jimmy Butler acquisition, then we're, and people still calling in the day of the Jimmy Butler acquisition, yeah, I don't know if Steve Kerr is going to be able to do this.
Well, he's...
They've lost one time with Jimmy Butler in the lineup, man.
It's looked
like, come on,
as good as it's ever looked.
Like, what do we like? It's been a perfect match. Now,
but
again,
Joe, that doesn't mean that he doesn't make mistakes. And I think that's
yeah. I've been saying the Jordan Poole thing, how that whole thing was handled with Draymond Green, was one of the biggest black eyes in his resume.
Bruce
I think
Bochy,
it is
Bruce Bochy. He pitched Matt Moore at home, and everyone knew that that wasn't a good decision, and he should have been pitching in Wrigley. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
The Cup Series,
Do you guys don't remember this with Soto?
I do. Matt Moore pitched great in that game.
But everyone everyone has revisionist history on the entire thing, and he went to Santiago Casilla, and he shouldn't have been the closer, and that's why they overpaid for Mark Melancon. Like, show me a great coach. La Russa. I've talked glowingly about La Russa. Should he have not gone to Dennis Eckersley in that moment when Kirk Gibson hit the home run? The guy was the MVP of the American League.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
As a closer. It doesn't happen. Yeah.
Okay? Like, so, again, the greatest coaches in the history of the game all have horrific moments.
I'm picturing La Russa real quick. Give him the four to Kirk. The bum-legged Kirk Gibson.
He got shot up with God knows what. Right? He couldn't even walk.
X, like, I've walked like five guys all season long. What are you doing? That's a great call.
I'm like, for example, over the weekend, I'm not even pretending to be Steve Kerr, but like, you know, you've been on the diamond long enough, you're coaching, you're going to do things that you're like, what was I thinking? I sent a kid the other day. I'm like, we need to generate a run here. So I'm like waving him home. He got hosed by like 30 feet. And I literally brought the whole team in. I was like, guys, that's on me. I totally whiffed. I don't know what I was doing. I am so sorry. And that doesn't mean I'm a moron. It's just like, hey, sometimes you do things in coaching that you regret.
You're worthless.
You know, like playing Brad Wanamaker as much as they did, he probably regrets it.
What did Guru call him? Wanamisser? It's one of all-time nicknames. We got some callers here that are fired up about this current conversation. Let's go to WC in San Leandro. What you got, WC? You're on Spadoni and Shasky.
Hey, guys. Hey, you know I'm a Steve Kerr disciple. Man, the dude, he's the next, I don't want to say Arbeck, but definitely maybe a Popovich, a Phil Jackson. Pulling this off, the crew fighting Butler, which you can talk to my brother. I wasn't liking no Butler until I realized that he has an inside-out game I didn't see. And, man, that fit the puzzle. But Draymond Green, until you find another point forward that can push the ball, that is the speeding up of the offense. It sets everybody up. I remember when Kerr got the job, and everyone was mad about Jackson losing it. And Kerr said something that was interesting. He said, I like what we got, but I'm going to speed it up. I'm like, what? Speed it up? And sure enough, he sped up the game with a point forward, pushing the ball, looking for the cutters, picking, getting rebound. I mean, I don't know if y'all ever – I see Draymond like a Magic Johnson, because he can see the floor.
Yeah.
He can even take it coast to coast. He does a layup when you're not watching. You're looking at Curry, and then he's laying the ball off. He's cutting or doing something. That's why you can't trade. He gets in your face. I don't like it. Sorry about that, guys.
It's all good. Good call.
Thanks, WC. You know, it's great.
You know how many times I've traded Draymond on this station?
Oh,
what do you think?
888-957-9570. We could do it right now.
You mean like 250 times?
Yeah, thousands.
Okay. Have I not, for the last 2 weeks, been singing his praises? Whatever has happened, whether it's just the Jimmy Butler trade, he feels healthier. I don't know. Like, all the stars are aligning. He has played the best ball on both ends of the floor I feel like I've seen in close to a decade from him. The shooting, the passing.
That's it.
The turnovers are down. The defense is there. Like, he's yelling at the refs, but he's not stepping across the line. Have we said the word technical?
No.
In weeks.
No,
when it comes
maybe
to him.
Once or twice, maybe, but it's, again, nothing that we thought he was going to. Well, actually, there was one moment where I thought he was going to get ejected.
Well, the other day, Thursday night, he got right into his face, and he was clapping like this. But no, like, we've gotten the best version of Draymond Green, and I just...
question if that could have been done with any other head coach.
I don't think it... For this long, it's not just... It's one thing for, like, the honeymoon phase to work. It's another to do it a decade later. And still be able to not lose your mind with someone.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to have Jim Barnett at 9:20 today. JB... one of the longtime voices and broadcaster with the Golden State Warriors, obviously played for the Warriors, and obviously just an ambassador of the game and a guy that I respect his opinion on when it comes to head coaching, because He's played for head coaches. He's talked to these guys. He knew Don Nelson very well. Yeah, obviously Mark Jack. Like, he's been involved with all of these coaches. And I want to know, and he's been involved with the Bay Area for so long, so he's known all these other guys. Like, what separates Steve Kerr amongst his peers? I'm very curious. And the things that we don't see, again, that you're alluding to, like his relationship and his ability to connect with these players, like in the young guys too, because I think that's, and I've been a part of this, and I've been a big, you know, critic of Steve. It's like his ability to connect with some of these young guys. I've called it out. Absolutely. Whether it is the Moses Moody's or the Jonathan Kamingas, I was like, yeah, Steve, you know, you kind of gotten lucky in your career at times. And he'll tell you he's gotten lucky. You played with Mike and you were still one of the younger guys. You played with some of these other players. You were the old grizzled vet on those Spurs teams. Like, and you've played with Phil, you've played with Pop. So yeah, it's easy for you to say to some of these young guys, like, yeah, if you just wait your moment, you know, so-and-so came off the, Dwayne Wade came off the bench. And remember when he's trying to connect with Anthony Edwards and like Anthony Edwards scoffed at him? He's like,
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dwayne Wade came off the bench for Kobe Bryant. Yeah, there's not Kobe on this team. Like that's what he said to him. Steve Kerr.
And you're watching Jamal, these young players. They're watching their peers get the money, the accolades, the minutes, the shots, all these things, and they think that they're on that level.
And you're trying to get that buy-in from these guys, and it's very difficult to do so. I think Steve Kerr's done a great job the last couple months, specifically with Jonathan Kuminga. Just judging what I've heard from Jonathan Kuminga, the maturity that I've heard from him, I'm going to give Steve Kerr some of that credit too, because I do think that their communication has been key in all of this. Horace in Texas, Kurt in Oakland, we'll get to you on the other side. We got Jim Barnett at 920. That's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Bay Area, it's Jerry Stackhouse. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks, Jerry. Is this a Gilligan's Island? A 3-hour tour? Like, yes. Is it St. Patrick's Day music?
I forgot to get a St. Patrick's song during the break, so I settled on that.
You failed with that one for sure, but that's okay.
Can I ask you guys a question?
No, you can't, because we're broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk studios. Now you can. Okay, just wanted to throw that out there.
When Don Nelson just randomly got up and left in 95, okay, from the Warriors, we know that he returned. There's been basically 10 other coaches. From Don Nelson in the early 90s to Steve Kerr.
Okay.
How many can you guys name collectively without Googling?
I'll let all three of you in. I need game show music first before we start doing that.
All right.
All right. I'm going to go Musselman. Bus Boss.
Eric Musselman.
All right.
He had a 457 winning record.
He's with
75 and 89.
He's with SC right now. Fight on.
Okay. Mike Montgomery.
Mike Montgomery. 415 winning record.
All right. Risotto, you got one? You weren't alive.
I don't.
That's two.
Keith Smart.
Keith Smart is on the list. He was 36 and 46. 1 year, 439 winning percentage.
Oh, PJ Carlissimo.
Oh,
Charles Carlissimo.
You guys don't even want to know. 46 and 113. A 29% winning percentage.
Okay. This is where it gets a little...
Was Gary St. Jean...
Yeah, the saintly one.
Yeah, was he a GM or is he a coach?
No, he was a coach.
He was a coach for a hot second.
He was 13 and 42.
Yeah, but those are big...
24% winning percentage.
That's a big 13 wins, though. We love the same.
Okay, Old Celtic. Can you guys name him?
Cowens?
Dave Cowens. He had a 24% winning percentage as well. Brian Winters, you probably don't remember that name.
Okay, that's still okay.
13 and 46.
Feels like you're just making names up at this point.
Okay. Bob Lanier. 12 and 25.
Okay.
Rick Adelman. Now Rick Adelman's been around forever.
Yeah.
66 and 98. The point that I'm trying to make is, guys,
you faded out.
Guys. Steve Kerr is unequivocally the greatest coach in the last 30, 40 years for the Warriors. I mean, like, anybody who wants to be his harshest critic, I get it. Trust me, I do. I get it.
I'm saying it. He is the best coach in Bay Area sports history. You guys can scoff at that. You can get Boach. You can do it. He's got four rings.
He starts at number three.
He starts number one for me because he's got the most rings. And what we love about Bay Area, we love championships. Well, he's got the most of them. That's all the answer I need for that. 888-957-9570. Jim Bardet, 920. Can't wait to talk to some JB, talk some hoops there. We've got a massive game tonight, guys. I don't want to underscore this enough. This is a playoff-level game tonight at Golden State. Warriors-Nuggets. This has a lot of ramifications. Right now, the 2-5 seed in the West all have the same number of losses. They're 25 losses from the 2 seed from the Rockets all the way down to the 5th seed Lakers. They all have the same amount of losses. Warriors are 3.5 back from the 2 seed potentially, but only a half game up from the 7th seed. So 7-2 is a logjam of a lot of really good teams and teams that need to start separating themselves sooner rather than later. It starts tonight right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors live at 6, tip off at 7. Will we get the Joker? He's dealing with injuries. Will we get Steph? He's dealing with a back injury. There's so many different levels with this. And we're talking about coaching, Joe Shasky. Again, one of the longest tenured coaches you're going to be playing tonight as well is Michael Malone, who started just a year after Steve started with the Warriors. Michael Malone started in 2015 with the Denver Nuggets. So, two of the both champions, by the way. And I don't think there's... I'm not going to say there's a huge correlation between staying that long and winning a title, because a lot of guys have stayed for a long places, have never won a title. Terry Stotts, who's now Warriors assistant coach, stayed a long time with the Blazers, never won a title. I think he was just in a bad era because he was just going up against the Warriors a lot. And I thought they maximized those teams out in Portland, what they could do. I think they got to a conference finals once. They got swept. But Michael Malone, I don't scoff at him. When we're talking about some of the good coaches in the league. I know you want to poke fun at him because of what he said.
Yeah, sure.
But he's still one of the most respected coaches, I think, in the league.
But why don't we do this thing then? Why don't we go the extra step? So let's say they were matched up with Mike Malone in the playoffs, hypothetically, because tonight is a playoff preview.
Yes.
Why wouldn't we give Steve Kerr and his staff the credit? Like when you
I am.
Against, just pick whoever you want.
Everyone's
Andy
doing
Reid
that.
Against, what was it? McDermott. We always go, it's Andy Reid and Spagnuolo. Why don't we ever do it's Steve Kerr and Ron Adams.
Jerry Stackhouse.
Why don't we ever
Terry
do
Stotts.
That? Because when I look at the Memphis matchup, right, I'm like, Taylor Jenkins is going to outcoach, Steve Curtin? No way.
No.
No way. If things are very close in terms of talent, either side, who do I trust to make these 7-game adjustments?
Just give me the entire West right now. Let's just go top to bottom. Are you trusting Mark Daigneault in a series over Steve Kerr? Are you trusting Ime Udoka? You've already seen that in the finals.
No.
Are you trusting? The only one that gives me pause because he's won a title, Michael Malone. But
I'll give him credit, but I'm still taking Steve Kerr.
You're still taking Steve Kerr.
Even J.J. Redick. Can I see a playoff game?
He's a rookie, right? You have to take Steve Kerr on there. I've been impressed with J.J.
But I will give LeBron credit because I know LeBron will be...
He's a coach on the floor. Yes. He's coaching there,
And he's going to help influence things. So
Luke is a smart player, too. I'll give him that.
But there's nobody... There's no one you can name in the West where I'm like, oh my God.
Finchie. No, Chris Finch. I love Finchie. He's good. Good rookie season he had there, though, or second season where he got all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Ty Lue, I will say this. Ty Lue, I'll say this. That's the guy that can do the X's and O's.
I will. Yeah. Ty Lue can go mind for mind.
Yes.
And he can play the chess match. I will definitely give you that. But we also have to like acknowledge we never bestow that benefit of the doubt on Steve Kerr when we talk about these things. And I don't think league-wise. I just remember, as a non-Laker fan, my own mind, like, they've got Phil.
Yeah.
They've got Phil.
You always bring this up. Phil, when it came to the refs and the fouls.
Psychological warfare in between games.
He loved when he spoke to the media. Yeah.
He was great at it. Yeah. And like he'd pick and choose his spots and he'd be like, oh, Kobe's getting destroyed off ball. We got to look at this. And what would happen next game? 3 or 4 quickie fouls in the first quarter off ball.
Steve is really good at doing that. He learned a lot of that from Phil, and he's really good about talking about that through the media after games. Well, specifically,
it's funny that you say that, because I would say one of his big criticisms is, I don't think he whines enough about Steph Curry's fouls.
I think we've heard it of early on, I agree with you, but the last year or so, I've been hearing his frustrations more and more through the media. And again, we'll see definitely in this playoff series when they come or play in, whatever. We're hoping it's a playoff series. That's not even baked into the equation just yet. But yeah, we're going to see that. There's a mental aspect to it, talking to the refs, pointing stuff out. You know, Draymond, his leash when it comes to the referees, it's going to be extended come playoff time as well. And being able to check him in and out of certain situations when you feel like he's getting too ahead of himself is going to be a part of that. We got a couple calls here that want to join the conversation. Kurt is in Oakland. He's been hanging on. What's going on, Kurt? You're on the Morning Roast with Spinoni and Shasky. What you got on Kurt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'll be quick and simple. Steve Kerr helped make the Warriors elite and legendary, which I never thought I would see in my lifetime because I've been a Warrior fan since 94, so I know all about the dog years and the laughing stock and the hoping that they would be the top of the franchise, but it never happened. So all those coaches that they had through the years, it's like, really? This is what we had. We had Felton Spencer, who was supposed to be the savior of the Utah Jazz, and you know, we had him briefly. It just, the list goes on and on. Two quick things. Jim Murnett should come on sometime to talk about Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain, because he did play with Bill when Bill was a player coach, and he played against Wilt Chamberlain. And another quote that I wanted to give was when Steve Kerr was a commentator, and he'd probably even bring it up. He had asked Bill Russell, he said, in today's game, how many points would you score?
Right.
And Bill Russell goes, oh, about 12 to 14 points. And Steve Kerr goes, that's it. And Bill Russell goes, well, I am 75.
That's good. That's a walk-off from Kurt.
That sums it up.
That's a good one. I'll let you do that. That's a walk-off. You do that, Kurt, when he makes something like that, you just walk it off. You let it breathe. That's good.
TMC, and then obviously you bring in Weber, and they made just some bad trades. The Billy Owens, Mitch Richmond trade is just an all-time gaffe.
Yeah.
And then they made a bunch of trades after that, a sequence of trades.
Did Steve Kerr not bring a level of respectability,
Joe,
when he chose the Warriors over the New York Knicks and his boy Phil Jackson that was there, the GM?
I would have took the Knicks job.
Right? It's the Knicks.
I
and the Warriors.
Took the job.
Yes, they were nice, a nice little fun team, but no one knew the trajectory they were going on. The fact that he took that and he was highly coveted, he was the most sought after coach during that period, like, I don't sleep on that. That was a level of respectability. No, Steve chose us. He didn't choose the New York Knicks and working with his guy Phil Jackson, who he was very close to.
Joe, we didn't have an all-star for like 16 years.
Yeah,
and then David Lee became an all-star, and we were ready to throw block parties.
Yeah,
I'm going to read these names off, because he brought up Don Nelson again. Bob Lanier, Rick Adelman, P.J. Carlissimo, Gary St. Jean, Dave Cowens, Brian Winters, Eric Musselman. You brought in Mike Montgomery. Oh, God. Nelson came back, and that was the We Believe time. Keith Smart, Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr. The only one who had a good winning percentage. And Nelly didn't, by the way. When he came back, he ended up with a 44% winning percentage. And that's during the We Believe.
Right.
When they had two great back-to-back years. Mark Jackson, 53% winner.
Yeah. That was it.
Steve Kerr is 65%. All the others are in the 20s or in the 40s.
And again, we're talking about Steve Kerr today. Why? Well, you surpassed Alvin Attles with the most wins in franchise history, 558 career regular season wins for Steve Kerr. He has the fifth best winning percentage in NBA history among coaches with at least 300 regular season victories. Oh, and by the way, still has the greatest playoff winning percentage in the history of the sport, 0.3% better than the Zen Master himself.
So, like, part of the Don Nelson thing for me where it gets, like, I love Nelly. I do. And
a lot of people gravitate towards him.
We love Nelly.
Like, we love Nelly like we love Harbaugh around here.
Sure. But Nelly's also the arsonist as well as the one who puts out the fire. Yeah. Like, Nelly's very complicated.
Yeah.
He was very complicated. And I think it's easy for people nowadays to be like, oh, well, Nelly would have won multiple. Right. I don't know about that. I don't know if him and Clay and Steph and Dre would have been harmonious for a decade.
The player empowerment era.
Who was he harmonious with in his entire career other than the money and the power?
It's a great point. Horace is in Texas.
Would him and Lacob have gotten along for a long time?
Again, that's the ownership matters in all these. Again,
sure.
I brought up Jim Harbaugh. Like, that was the falling out point.
He would have traded Kuminga by now.
Oh, absolutely.
If I would have, like, given him what they've given
no,
him.
No, if Kuminga went to the news during a playoff series, are you kidding me?
Yes.
Like, the voices disgruntlement to the media.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, please. That would have been a whole show of Don Nelson torching him post-game or during a press conference. Horace, what's up, man? You're all Spadoni and Chasky. What you got on Steve Kerr?
Oh, man, buddy. Hey, before I say what I got to say about Steve Kerr, I want to give you guys a shout-out, man. Both of you, the two Joes, got to throw Bonte in there, Steiny and Guru, Willard Dibbs, Evan filling in whenever you guys need time off. Man, you guys have an all-star lineup over there, man. And I've listened to a lot of sports talk, and I've never heard one station that has so many all-stars, man. So shout out to you guys, man. You guys are doing something right over there.
Thank you.
Checks in the mail, Horace. Appreciate it.
Yeah. What's up, man?
What you got on Steve Kerr? He's been amazing, hasn't he, Horace? Let's give this man his flowers.
Yes, man. And let me tell you something about Steve Kerr. The most fascinating thing I've ever heard said about him, it was from Draymond Green. And man, Sasky, I'm with you. I've traded Draymond 9 million times. And I'm not sure I won't trade him again. But he said something phenomenal. He said in the early days with Steve Kerr used to frustrate him in practice. He said because they'd be working on sets and everything, and they'd be swinging the ball around. And he said every time Steph or Clay would get the ball and they hold it too long, he would tell them, move the ball, move the ball, move the ball. And that was frustrating Draymond Green. And Draymond told Steve, he said, hey, Steve, you know, you keep telling us to move the ball, move the ball. He said, these are the two guys that need to shoot the ball. And Steve Kerr looked at him and said, Draymond, if you keep moving the ball will determine who's supposed to take the shot. And when you think about that, think about how they play. When they're moving the ball, that's when they're at their best.
It's true.
And so I think that was probably the most phenomenal thing I've heard about Steve Kerr. When you move, if you keep the ball moving, the ball will determine who should take the shot. That's all I got, guys.
Great call.
Thanks, Horace.
It's funny.
Horace in Texas, by the way, I will never not think of when he called in and talked to Joe Lacob. It was one of the greatest takes I've ever heard in my life. Hey, we got Joe Lacob, Warriors owner, on. Horace in Texas, go out to you. Yeah, you guys should trade for Dwight Howard. Okay. That was one of the all-time moments. Also, I think it was Horace in Texas that said, Kevon Looney's a jump shot away from being Nikola Jokic. I love you, Horace. It was one of the all-time calls we've ever had. Continue, Joe Chasky.
How many coaches in the league right now could tolerate Joe Lacob? We all love Joe, but let's call it what it is. It's like me, right? In the sense of, I know I'm an insane person, and there are certain individuals that I just wear down. Sam Lubman's probably tried to kill me 700 times this week alone.
And vice versa.
It just started.
Vice versa. Yeah, you guys like to try to off each other every now and then.
But
pause.
We all can acknowledge Joe Lacob's a lot. There's a lot going on there. Well, not that he doesn't want to win.
Now that Mark Cuban's like out of the picture, like he is the hands-on owner. Like you think of the NBA. For the longest time, it was Mark Cuban for me. It's like, okay, Mark Cuban demands a lot. Like that guy's very...
Sure.
But he hung on a lot to that one championship and to our head coach there. It's not in Indiana. He's in Indiana now. Who's my guy? Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. We're both losing it.
He shaved his head.
He did.
Oh, God.
Hold on. I got it right now.
He won the title with the Mavericks.
Head coach right now. I got Rick Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle.
So, but
yes,
he hung out to
you.
Rick for a long time because he had that one championship, yeah. And they weren't really doing much, and they had some down seasons. And I don't know if he was really demanding greatness all the time from them. But Joe, I know, is. And to work for a guy like that, and Steve Kerr has mentioned it a lot, like, Joe demands a lot.
The guy was,
but he likes that too. It's like it's creative tension almost, which is good.
The guy whose name we haven't brought up this morning, who gets tossed around in a lot of these discussions, is Larry Brown. Larry Brown would quit jobs left and right.
He would.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He would get tired of something, someone, anybody above him, and he would leave. George Karl would constantly alienate himself from the front office. You know, Steve's now worked with multiple GMs, and one of the most maniacal owners in sports. And I say that as a term of endearment.
Yep.
And also, they've gone through a lot of transitions.
Yeah.
You know, and there are a lot of transitions, a lot of roster upheaval. Yes, there's been a lot of constants, but I think navigating those waters, we've underrated.
888-957-9570. We're talking the greatness of Steve Kerr. We're going to be jumping into here probably in a few minutes, Joe Shasky. I don't want to get into the matchup tonight because it is a big one. We've all been circling this matchup in regards to the Nuggets and Warriors because what's the big talking point? Oh, you're 14-1 now and Jimmy Butler plays, which, again, is insane. Oh, but who have you beaten? Who have you really beaten? Oh, you beat the Knicks. Oh, well, they didn't have Jalen Brunson. Oh, you beat the Pistons. Oh, yeah, well, you know, it was a good win. That was nice. But they didn't have Jaden Ivey. I mean, it's always been ifs and buts and candies and nuts. I was like, okay, well, fine. If that's what we're going to do, like, you're going to beat someone eventually that you're going to like, right? Oh, well, this person was missing from there. Like, they keep moving the goalpost further and further and further back. We saw this a lot with the 49ers when they were going on their runs. Well, who have they really beaten? Oh, well, you lost to the P.J. Walker Cleveland Browns. I can't really take you seriously. I was like, okay, the team's in the Super Bowl now. Can we take them seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, but the Lions, you know, they're a year away from being a year away.
It's Jared Goff.
Right, exactly. So we kept doing that. In fairness, like the Niners, they come up short, but this Warriors team's different. I don't know, man. Like, we were talking about the in-season trades, too, with Jimmy Butler and comparing it to Christian McCaffrey and some of the greatest in-season trades of all time. I do want to get into that conversation at some point because there is something to the belief level that Jimmy Butler has instilled, which, again, sounds insane. Jimmy Butler has got me believing in the team when he just was an absolute dumpster fire the last season with the Miami Heat, but there's a real belief now because of Jimmy, and that belief is going to grow tonight, Joe Shasky, exponentially, if they handle the Denver Nuggets. If they just win, sure, but if they blow them out, if they blow out the Denver Nuggets tonight, we're going to be coming in tomorrow. There's, you know, Bontevac's talking about the arrogance meter. There's going to be an arrogance from Warriors fans, and I want to hear from all of them.
You brought up kind of subtly there, Jimmy Butler trade in season, yeah, and the CMC trade in season. Even the biggest football fan would acknowledge when the Niners made that deal, Jimmy was the quarterback.
Yeah.
And we were all kind of like, hey, that's a great trade. It's going to really help them. But, like, I think at the end of the day, it's like, do you believe in the quarterback?
Yeah.
And then, like, Brock Purdy, like, can this story be real? You know, right, because he came in and was firing on all cylinders. This Jimmy thing's different.
How big, like, real quick, on the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, when he first took, like, were you buying into that those final five games, whatever it was? Were you like, we have to pay this guy, we have to keep
this
guy? Were you all in on the Jimmy Garoppolo experience prior to the ACL injury?
We were dormant, and it was like, oh my God, we got our guy. We got our guy. He makes us relevant. Like, we were so desperate to just be relevant.
Right.
We were coming out of the Kaepernick
Chip
saga.
Kelly.
Yeah. I mean, there was so much. So yeah, I was all in. Like, dude, I drank all the Kool-Aid on the Jimmy G. But CMC, like, I was like, wow, we are there. But never was I like, oh, they can win. Like, I was fully in on they can win a Super Bowl. Because
yeah,
Philly was really good that year.
Yeah.
Going into that game, even if Brock Purdy doesn't get hurt, if you would have won that game, and I said it that day leading up to it, day after, it would have been an upset.
Yes.
Had the Niners won that NFC Championship game in Philly, I thought it would have been an upset.
Or
personally,
it would have been. It was a rookie quarterback. Like, it's kind of crazy.
That's what I'm saying. They barely beat the Cowboys the week before.
Philadelphia's last two NFC Championship games, they've hosted them, and they've gone up against rookie quarterbacks. It's been Brock Purdy and then Jaden Daniels.
And blew the doors off both of them.
Blew the doors off both
of them. So, like, and look, I'm not trying to say that I, you know, didn't love the CMC. It was great. But imagine you made the CMC move and you have Josh Allen and you have Patrick Mahomes, meaning like one of those all-time great players. Getting Jimmy Butler alongside of Steph Curry, to me, that's like, oh, oh yeah, I believe you can win a championship with this particular nucleus. Cause I've seen that other guy do it with different versions of the team.
My belief level is just so much different with this Warriors team compared to that 49ers squad, to your point, because I know I have Steph Curry. Yes. I know he's won it before, and I know Steve Kerr's won it before. I know Draymond Green's won it before. I have championship players like Christian McCaffrey, who came from, I'm not going to say a losing organization, because they did some winning with him in Carolina, but it's the Carolina Panthers. It's not the San Francisco 49ers. But that being said, they don't have the Shanahan era doesn't have a championship pedigree. They've been to the title game, but they haven't won it. So it is different. The belief level I have with the Warriors team is I do believe they could win a title because of what is already there taking place. And on top of that, yes, Jimmy has been to two NBA finals as the best player, baked into all of that. So yeah, again, they have to do it first, and I do think they're going to win a series. But if they even get like a deep run, like, or get to a finals, yeah, I do think it's the greatest trade in the history of Bay Area sports. I do.
In season.
Now,
Fred Dean was an in-season trade.
Was Ricky, when he came back to Oakland in season?
Yeah, he was. He was at the deadline. 89.
That was huge. I know. Obviously, he was amazing.
The Giants tried to get him.
The Giants tried, exactly.
And they didn't. And the A's got him. You know, because there's like a lot of non-in-season trades that were great. Obviously, the Warrior, we believe, one was in-season.
Even given where this team was, just the life support they need, they were just so bad.
They were dead in the
water. They were down in the dumps, hovering around 500. Oh, my God. And again, Steve Kerr giving him credit. I want to wrap up some of these calls.
So, like, Wiggins was an in-season trade, but it really didn't materialize until a couple years later.
No, yeah. And again, the Jimmy Butler giving hope, the way that even Christian McCaffrey, I didn't have that much hope. He was a good player. He was nice. Injured. And the injury history scared the hell out of me. And there's, again, with Jimmy Butler, these guys are old.
I think the quarterback, too, is like that. Well, this quarterback, can we see, like, you know what I mean? There was this doubt on the team because quarterback's so important. There's no doubt. And then I look at across the league, and I want to go to the lines here. But, like, if OKC had a title or two under their belt, we would view this whole differently.
Right.
They don't.
They don't.
So you feel like, oh, we've got championship pedigree, and they don't. It reminds me a lot of the New England Patriots.
Yeah. John, Oakland, wants to join on the Kerr conversation. What's up, John? What you got on Steve?
How you doing?
Hey, guys, I'm doing pretty well. And, Spadoni, you're doing great. It's been good to hear you, man.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, good stuff. So listen, Steve Kerr is an all-time coach. I think we are giving him his flowers as much as possible. He is the reason that the Warriors had their championship run. He gave the Warriors the piece that they were missing with Mark Jackson. When Mark Jackson left, Steve came on. And he had the tactics. Mark Jackson just didn't quite have the X's and O's. So I don't want you to think that I'm not giving Steve Kerr his flowers. But just a quick correction here, guys. Steve Kerr is not the reason that the Warriors are on this 14-1 tear. Mike Dunleavy and Jimmy Butler are the reason for that. And the thing that, like, gets me here is the reason I'm calling it out is the only time that Steve Kerr started doing exactly what you guys and the fans have implored him to do all season, which is start the same five guys every single night. The only time that he started doing that was when Jimmy got, you know, traded. And magically, all of a sudden, it's Moses Moody and Pajemski, and those are our guys, and those are our starters. It's like, oh, really? We couldn't pick two guys or three guys to go the whole season and then figure it out from there? So I've been a little frustrated with Steve Kerr on that front. And from the coaching perspective, because he was mixing up the lineups all the time. But, definitely give Steve Kerr his flowers. But, man, he is not the reason that the Warriors are turning around. He's had some great coaching moments in the last 15 days.
Wait a minute. He doesn't get credit for sticking with Moses Moody now. Now, I was frustrated that Moody hadn't had a role up until this time. But, like, can't both be true? Like, he is part of the reason, like, he stuck with that. That was before the Jimmy thing. And he's kind of rode it out. Quinn Post came out of nowhere. It's not like he relegated him back to the bench. He told TJD to take a hike, you know, and he's been sitting down. Like, I think you get credit for adjusting on the fly, no? Just a little?
If I can respond, I'll give you Quentin Post. But Moses, 4 years? Not playing? I'm not finally giving Steve Kerr credit for 15 games.
Okay.
That's all.
What about GP2? GP2's been awesome.
Yes.
For a month. Well, and he's chosen GP2 over Moody at times. Now he's got them both playing well. I'm not saying that he's not wrong in terms of critiquing it here and there. I'm just saying, like, I think both could be true. Moses might not have been ready for that role.
Again, like let's just enjoy what was, like, the team wasn't healthy, first of all. You lost D'Anthony Melton, who was a big part of what this team wanted to do early on. Buddy Hield turned back into a pumpkin, and the team wasn't very good.
Has he been overplaying Buddy Hield since? Now that he's got more options? No. I feel like he's kind of like picked and choose his spots with Buddy.
It's been perfect. Buddy Hield, again, against the next 15 minutes.
Look,
15 minutes!
Andrew didn't have a good game,
but it was okay.
Andrew Wiggins was so inconsistent, I think it made all these decisions look worse in hindsight. And I think Jimmy has made all these decisions look good.
And it's easier.
And I'm not trying to rip Andrew, but let's call it what it is.
And it's easier.
We overrated him.
Again, and Jimmy Butler is taking over his spot and it's been great. It's like, you weren't replacing Andrew Wiggins with Moses Moody. Like, you just weren't. Oh, you could play two of them together. Yeah, great. But the consistency was nowhere going to be.